It's time for the network break. Sit back, grab a coffee, and join us for an analysis of the latest IT news, vendor moves, and new product announcements. We'll separate the signal from the noise, or at least make some noise of our own. Welcome to episode 26. I'm Drew Connery Murray, and with me as always is Greg Farrow. Greg, how you doing?
Happy new network year.
Happy network year. We had a bit of a hiatus there for personal reasons and such. You moved to a new house, and that takes
I moved to a new house. It was a very crazy time. Then I had to wait for internet to be connected, and then once internet came back, I got incredibly busy with some outside work, and then I got tired. and then, I do remember a couple of times looking around at seeing what was happening in the first few weeks of January, and you know what? Not much. Not much, was there?
News-wise, yeah. It was, yeah, that's kind of a doldrums for IT events and news and such. So, yeah, we needed to let the market refresh itself.
Always said we only want to run the show when we've got content to talk about, or, you know, things to happenings, events, and news to talk about. Yeah. So when there's nothing to talk about, what are we going to do? Flap our gums about how awesome we are or whine about the state of something or other? I don't think that's what we want to do, is it?
No, that's why we have families.
Yeah. Complain to them. Speaking of families, today's podcast is brought to you by SolarWinds, a leading provider of IT management software. I want you to check out the new Network Performance Monitor product from them. Version 11.5 has just started shipping with a whole bunch of new features, especially with deep packet analysis. So it's actually got a DPI inspection engine as part of the product. And we've just recorded a podcast with them just last week, which we'll publish in 3 or 4 weeks, where we actually do a bit of a deep dive on the Network Performance Monitor product. So get on over to www.solarwinds.com/npm to learn more about the product. And thanks to SolarWinds for sponsoring the show today.
All right, so let's kick it off. Some news. VMware, I guess they did a financial report, and they're saying they've got 400 customers for NSX, which is their SDN overlay software.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, which is good, right? Because it's more than twice what Cisco's got. Just to give it some sort of perspective. I mean, like, first of all, when you look at it, you think 400, is that the best they could do? And then you think, well, what's everybody else doing? And, you know, if you go and talk to the startups, quite a few of the startups have, you know, 100, 200 customers, mm-hmm. but they've had a 2 to 3 year run rate, you know, mm-hmm. out there type of thing.
Right.
And, but NSX and Cisco have these mammoth customer bases. And the people who often buy from them are one-eyed in the extreme or, you know, we're committed to Cisco. We'll buy anything Cisco makes because that's our corporate strategy or, you know, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. On the whole, I sort of sit on two sides here. You know, yay to NSX for doing twice as good as Cisco ACI. And considering that NSX, VMware is not exactly a networking company, that's quite an achievement.
Yes.
And NSX is a networking product. Maybe networking people aren't buying NSX, but hey, still, it's a networking solution. It shows that Cisco ACI is not really getting the traction that you would might expect, despite what the Cisco ACI people, they are running around congratulating themselves, saying just how awesome this is. But I've only ever heard, you know, for all the stories that I hear from people who are enjoying ACI, I've heard far more saying it's not for us. So mm-hmm. on balance, yay for NSX. The company to watch out for, of course, is New Arch, who've done some pretty interesting things.
Why do you say they're the company to watch out for?
They've got far more traction and far more penetration into the market than most people think. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen the numbers, but I keep bumping into them in the market, and they've got some pretty significant wins around the OpenStack networking capability in big companies that haven't been loudly trumpeted. So instead of running around congratulating themselves and telling everybody how many customers they've got, they're just kind of getting on with it.
Right. So, now, Nuage, was that spun out of Alcatel-Lucent, or did Alcatel-Lucent, is that sort of a joint venture with them? I'm trying to remember my Nuage details.
So Nuage is a spin-out from Alcalu, as I understand it.
Yes,
spin-outs or, you know, parallel development.
Yeah.
But I haven't done a whole lot of research on exactly what it is, because actually I just don't kind of care. But definitely allied with Alcalu, right?
Right. As I recall, though, it's also essentially a software overlay, not a lot of hardware, very similar to the NSX approach.
That's right. They've produced just a couple of switches to do the VTEP termination at the edge. Okay. So where VMware says, you've got to go and do business with our partners, Dell, Arista, HP for the VTEP, you know, to bridge the virtual network to the physical network.
Yeah.
Newhart said, you don't want to do that. Just buy one of these switches. Run the rest of it over whatever you've got. But this critical piece is what you need. We have switches for that. Build on Broadcom, blah, 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 but guaranteed to work. Nice and simple. Yeah.
And besides the enterprise coming from Alkaloo, they also have an NFV service provider element to Nuage as well.
I think that's where they're headed. But more importantly, they've introduced a WAN element to it lately. Mm-hmm. So they've extended the Nuage out of the data center into the WAN. I haven't done too much research on that, but that's coming up for me in the near future.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm.
So, you know, while Cisco ACI is still, you know, reinventing the wheel, they say they're coming out with WAN products and stuff like that in the future, but Nuage is actually doing it today. Mm-hmm. And NSX, if it doesn't do the WAN, will start to lose traction. It has to solve the WAN problem because data doesn't live in the, you know, networking doesn't exist just in the data center or the cloud.
And that's interesting because you mentioned you don't know if it's networking folks buying NSX, and I'm wondering if, you know, since VMware has a lot of connections into the server team, if that's where they're going for this. And that's interesting about the WAN point because the server team might not necessarily be thinking about that.
Almost definitely not, you know, because servers only exist in one place, and that's inside a rack.
Yeah.
But, and of course, Cisco's, you know, you'll see the Cisco marketing engine say, well, you can have NSX and ACI. And the reason they're saying that, of course, is because ACI will eventually extend into the WAN and the campus eventually. Like, Cisco's obviously not the fastest company to produce products historically.
But they'll get there. They'll get there,
eventually. And then much, much later, it'll become reliable and actually worth buying. But so I think, you know, NSX has done a number of things. We could jump topics here and say not only has NSX managed to do that, but there was they'd done a deal with Google to integrate Google's cloud into their platform.
How so?
Basically, they've done a deal with Google so that the VMware's consoles can integrate Google stuff. That was announced yesterday.
Okay. So you can essentially use your VMware console to spin up instances in Google's cloud. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can at least orchestrate them or manage them. So I'll put a blog post, a link to the in the show notes to the article. But let's see. Companies need to address cloud portability by harnessing VMware vCloud and Google Web Toolkit and Google App Engine to simplify modern application deployment. Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Whatever. Yes, not sure what it means. I haven't gotten too deep. I don't think you'll be harnessing ES instances from your private cloud and moving them to Google's thing. I think it's more like an app thing with VMware's Spring product, which is Spring Java, which nobody should be using because Java's awful.
Okay. But overall, given what Cisco's doing, VMware tallying up customers, you're seeing Nuage, I think we're starting to maybe hit an SDN inflection point where people aren't just asking about what is it, what does it do, but now getting their feet wet, actually trying it, trying to build out some use cases for it.
Yes. So another data point there is Pluribus. 2 weeks ago, nabbed a D round of funding of $50 million.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty generous.
That is generous.
Yeah, very much so. And the funding, a significant part of the $50 million came from Temasek. So Temasek is a Singaporean sovereign fund. So it's not a VC. It's not a static. It's actually a superannuation fund investing in Pluribus directly.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of other players who've decided to be, you know, silent in the funding round. I spoke to them during a briefing, and this is where we're at. But, you know, $50 million, that's real money.
That is real money.
And a D round. It's not an A round or a B round. It's, you know, deep into the cycle.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Pluribus also announced that they're embracing Whitebox.
Uh-huh.
So their operating system. So Pluribus up until now has been a company which has a special hardware platform which has the silicon inside it and a server inside of that. Uh-huh. And if you can sort of imagine a switch, and then you go out and take a massive server, like not a pretend server, a full-on x86 Xeon class with SSD drives and, you know, 128 gigs of memory and shove the whole thing inside a switch on one board so that the network to server connectivity is just mammoth. Mm-hmm. Now what's happening is Pluribus is now saying, we've released a version of our operating system, Visor OS, and they're putting that onto Whitebox. So you can now go and buy your appropriate Acton Quanta and start doing that top of rack. Because you're not going to buy the Pluribus switch for everywhere sometimes. And so if you just want to have Pluribus end-to-end guaranteed, you can now go and buy a Whitebox. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have any, you know, HP Dell Brocade in your network. You can just have Pluribus everywhere throughout your data center to make it easier to manage and own. Mm-hmm. Whitebox, changing the nature of networking in a big way there.
Yeah, in a very big
because
way.
Because now Pluribus can say, yeah, we own your entire data center. We're responsible for it. Mm-hmm. Here's our operating system running on, you know, Whitebox. And they're getting take-up too, by the way.
Well, that's what I wonder. I mean, a Series D, depending on how you look at it, can also say, okay, are they actually starting to get any market traction, or are they still living off venture capital?
It's a little bit difficult to be sure because they're a private company, but yeah. They've had significant wins with a number of certain applications. The one that they've been touting a bit lately is an organization called Lucera. Do you know them?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so Lucera is a was originally, I'm just trying to remember, Lucera Networks, I think it is. Originally, if I remember the story correctly, I don't have it quite in the top of my head. I usually look these things up because there's so many of them. They were a financial organization, a division inside of a financial organization, and they built this SDN platform that they now use for financial, sell to financial people. And Lucera has recently switched over to using Pluribus in that infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
And they were touting that around for a little while. So if you do a bit of a search around for Lucera and Pluribus, you'll see there's some, you know, lots of happy noise going on about that.
Cool.
Yeah. And this Lucera cloud is, you know, designed for high frequency trading. So, you know, pretty niche sort of stuff. You know, But you can break out from a niche because if you can prove yourself in HFT, you can come to the market and say, we're good enough for that. We're good enough for your data center. That's what Arista proved.
Right, that's true. Mm. Good point.
Mm. So.
Okay. Staying with the white box topic, Gigamon's embracing white box hardware.
So detecting a trend? Did you notice this?
Me notice things.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting because a lot of people say to me, nobody's going to use Whitebox, and you know, there's not sure that Whitebox is going to. And I agree with them. There is a particular, you know, there's a large group of people who will be reluctant to buy Whitebox, feeling that they need to have some sort of certainty and things like that. But
and we're talking about Whitebox switches now, not Whitebox servers here. Just
to... Every time I see a Whitebox solution, I tend to notice it a little bit because it brings more credence to the point that my point is that Whitebox is lodged irrevocably into the marketplace, and it's going to give startups the ability to act and, you know, to punch above their weight.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I don't think people have given this enough credit. And so this is yet another sign. So Gigamon has embraced Whitebox switches for their GigaView OS, which is their network tapping solution. Mm-hmm. And so now Gigamon has these special chassis which receive data from the network, and then they can do munging, like packet formatting or rewriting according to certain rules, and then pass it out to security appliances. So, for example, you might want to feed a given data stream into an IDS. You might want to store it into a packet logging system, which can keep the packets for 6 months. You might want to feed it out to a lawful intercept, you know, for a government-led packet capture solution. And mm-hmm. you might also want to put it into an accounting system. Well, you need four copies of the traffic to do that. Well, you don't want to need four taps. So Gigamon has a box, can do the packet copying four times. Mm-hmm. It's also got the ability to build these distributed networks of things, right? But the big thing about the Gigamon, of course, is that their special hardware and their special switches have been relatively expensive. You don't want to build a network out of it. And so Big Switch came to market with a product called Big Tap.
Yes.
And that actually builds a tap network out of OpenFlow switches built on Whitebox.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So I think what Gigamon's saying is, we want that money. So they're now offering Whitebox Ethernet switches with their operating system, configured by their operating system, to build, to give customers a choice to have a low-cost tapping network and a high-cost tapping network with the fancy features in it, so you buy whatever it is that you need. You know,
that's stupid.
If you just want the dumb tapping network, use this one. Get some white box to put the operating system. If you want the high-priced packet filtering at, you know, wherever it is, you buy and buy our special hardware. It makes perfect sense. It's perfectly realistic. So
on the one hand, we've got pricing competition coming in from startups like Big Switch, maybe putting a little pressure on folks like Igamon, and at the same time, also more validation that white box switches can do important work.
No, I think my point of validation is, you know, we know that they can work because organizations, certain data centers like, you know, Amazon, Facebook, Google are using them. We know they work.
Yeah.
But my point is that white box puts startups on an equal footing with bigger vendors.
Yes.
End-to-end solutions without having to invest, you know, Arista had to put, you know, how many millions into building out a hardware team and producing a pipeline and warehousing and spare parts and service teams and 24-hour and distribution mechanisms to get hot spares to locations where they need to, you know, that is, there's a couple of hundred million there.
Right.
Building out service organizations and holding stock and, you know, having certified engineers to go to site to replace your switch when it fails. Whereas white box, you know, at $6,000, you could just have spares.
Right.
And now all of a sudden these companies stand on an equivalent footing. You know, they're not quite the same. So, you know, there's a gap, but it's not as big of a gap as it was before.
They can move a little faster. They can put less investment in having to build out their own hardware platform. And they can come with a market-tested hardware solution to do their software innovation on top of.
That's right. And for every vendor out there saying, buy white box and put my software on top, it undermines the story of you've got to have them integrated together.
So on that topic, talking about Big Switch, they released their Big Cloud Fabric 2.5. And our friend Ethan Banks has a nice breakdown of all the little goodies that are in the 2.5 release.
Ethan did a great job of picking out some of the highlights here. Big Switch, of course, is one of the most mature of the SDN company.
Yes.
Of the OpenFlow on hardware. And I spoke with Ethan a little bit about what he feels is actually happening here. And fundamentally what he says is they are actually getting the OpenFlow on hardware thing to right. So if you think about it from the point of view, there are early versions of the Big Switch, the Big Fabric controller, the Big Fabric solution was it was only certain models of OpenFlow. So you've got to lay the OpenFlow entries into the switch. And their application only had certain models for controlling flows, which was a little bit limiting in the sense that if you, you know, it works for what you want, but if you had various different ways you wanted it, the controller has to be able to calculate the flow entries and support that functionality. And as they stabilize and mature, they're starting to support more use cases, as they call them, or more design capabilities. So that's where they're headed.
Okay.
So interesting to see them continue to iterate and scale out the app functionality. So there's clearly, I think they're starting to get away from the, get it working, and now we're into the let's get the fancy features that people want type stuff.
Yeah, and we'll have a link to Ethan's article. It's definitely worth taking a look at. He really does break it down nicely.
Yeah.
What else did we have on tap?
We had the whistle the Fitbit for your dog. Is that
this is mean,
is this yours?
This is mine. I saw. I saw that somebody forwarded it on Twitter. It's a company that has raised $15 million in venture funding for a dog fitness tracker. So I got my wife a Fitbit for Christmas. She loves it. She's been using it constantly, you know, tracking her steps and doing all that kind of stuff. And it's cool. But the dog tracker thing, I just thought, really? Do we have $15 million we couldn't be doing something better with? You're going to put this around your dog's neck and be like, oh, my dog took 50 steps today. I feel like, you know, the article is positioning it as sort of part of this Internet of Things wave and, you know, the analyzing everything that we do wave. And I feel like, all right, I'm calling this as the start of the IoT, the Internet of Things bubble.
I'm sitting here looking at this going, you know, We're getting excited when a SDN startup with 3 years of development and a dynamic product in a market that, of which there is, you know, $1 trillion are spent on data centers every year, you know, some very, very large number, right?
Yes.
And they get a 50 million round, a D round, right?
Yeah.
These people raised $15 million in a Series B round.
That's right.
Bringing the total funding to $25 million. So you can track how much exercise your dog is getting, your pet is getting.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I walk my dog. I know how much exercise he's getting.
Do you know? It's like, you know, there's a certain point at which, you know, like, you know, when you go to a fancy restaurant and you see these meals. Like, I once went to a Michelin-starred restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I was really quite expecting so, and you know what, it just wasn't all that.
Sure.
You know, they had it was pretty interesting that they had, like, the dessert, which is the one thing I can remember clearly. The meal was quite exquisite, but it was very late. It took hours to arrive, and I'd lost my sense of humor by the time it rocked up on my table. But you know, like, they'd made this coolest sort of fruit sauce, and then they'd enclosed it in a chocolate ball. Mm-hmm. So that when you, as you were having dessert, you'd crack this ball open and the raspberry coolie, fruit coolie would come out. And the coolie was, of course, the chocolate was lovely and the fruit was lovely. But, you know, it was just fruit, sauce and chocolate. I'm trying not to be a Philistine here and appreciate the finer things in life. But quite honestly, by the time they said, you know, having just gotten off a plane at 6 a.m. that morning after getting up at 3 a.m. to hit the airport, sitting at the Michelin-starred restaurant at 11 p.m. at night, I would have actually just much more appreciated giving me something to eat and let me get back to my...
I go to bed.
It just, you know, I'm just not all that. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, I brought it up because I wanted, like, am I crazy? Does this strike people as odd that someone would want this kind of thing? I mean, I guess in the article they cited some insane figure about the billions of dollars that Americans spend on pet products. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe I'm just blind and I can't see it. But,
you know, there's an awful lot of pointless stuff out there. It's like talking to startups in Silicon Valley. Do you know how many startups there are doing to-do lists? There's like 250 of them created.
Sure.
In the hope that one day you'll pay $10 a month for a to-do list.
Yes.
That's just not going to happen.
Right.
No one's going to pay $10 a month.
Right.
Just to have a to-do list app, you know. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, one 25-year-old can take a year off and basically build an app. And all he needs is about $50,000.
Sure. That's cheap.
And so there's no end of pointless rubbish out there. And the flip side of this, too, is that, you know, if they've got total funding of $25 million, I bet they don't have $25 million in the bank. It'll be delivered incrementally every month. If they hit certain targets every month, they'll get the next month's funding. And if they don't hit those targets, they'll stop getting that money.
Okay, so you think this is a pledge, not necessarily a delivery of a check.
Nearly all funding is a pledge, not a check. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little better.
I just $100 on your for a Fitbit dog collar. Who's got time to hack around with Fitbits?
Well, like I said, my wife loves hers. She has a lot of fun with it, but I just can't. My dog, if he's not out for a walk with me, he's asleep. So what am I going to learn?
I don't know.
Using this thing. Yeah. I don't know. If folks have a different opinion, I'd you know, let us know in the comments or something. I'd love to hear a justification for this, but... Mm. I guess I'm just getting into my get off my lawn, you stupid kids phase of life.
I can highly agree. I can highly support that perspective.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of episode 26. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And Greg, what have you got going on this week?
This week I'll be firmly ensconced in my palace of productivity. I'm not leaving for several weeks yet, if ever. But I've been working on a magazine lately called the Human Infrastructure Magazine, which is my attempt to form a newsletter, which is a little bit more stylistically in a magazine. So instead of just sending you out an email with a bunch of text words on it, it actually comes with a few pictures and some care and attention to look and feel. And it's also focusing on the human aspects. So in the last in the edition that was just published as we record yesterday, I was talking about going to very large conferences and feeling like, do you know in the cloud how we talk about pets and cattle?
Yes.
And a lot of, you know, we shouldn't have servers, shouldn't have names like pets. They should all be cattle.
Yes.
When I'm going to go to a conference, I actually want to be treated like a pet, not like cattle.
Yes.
I've been to some of those really big conferences lately, you know, with like the vendors like VMware and Cisco and, you know, and there's 20,000 people there. And it's just it's emotionally draining to be there because nobody knows anybody. It's physically draining because it can be 30 minutes from one side of the conference to the other.
Sure.
And you go in trying to get into a room to a lecture and there's like 1,000 people in the lecture and it takes 15 minutes to get in and 15 minutes to get out.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I'm just not I just don't want to do big conferences anymore. I'd love to see these companies break them up into smaller pieces. That's the sort of topic I'd like to take on in that magazine on human infrastructure. It's talking about being people inside of IT infrastructure. I'll do a little bit of tech and a little bit of dreaming about trying to change the unchangeable, but mostly it's about being human.
That's a nice point. We are in fact human.
Yes, indeed. And just a thanks to SolarWinds for sponsoring the episode today and to invite anybody else who's listening from a vendor. If you'd like to sponsor the show, just get in touch with me at Packet Pushers at gregfarrow@packetpushers.net. And if you're a listener, don't hesitate to send us feedback. Or if you want us to follow up on a point, if you think we've made a mistake or put something down an error, don't hesitate to send us a piece of follow-up and we will absolutely address it in the next show.
That's right. And you can find all the links to the article that we mentioned on packetpushers.net. And if you're in need of reading material, please check out my science fiction novel, Wasteland Blues, available on Amazon as an ebook or a physical book that you can carry around with you. And in the meantime, we will find some more stories to talk about and talk to you soon.